is beginning to rain, rain, rain in the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water. Your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. What a wonderful day of worship it is. So glad to be with you and you with me. Jesus, our Lord, said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there will I be in the midst thereof. I believe that Jesus is with us. I'm so glad to be with you. You know, we're continuing our series about the ages-old conspiracy between God and men. Now, before I have the final part or section, you might say, a portion, as we call it down here in Texas, of that series, we always play some beautiful music. And here's a song that I know you'll enjoy. I've heard it sung by a number of artists. My good friend Johnny Ray Watson has it on an album. This is from the Gaither Gospel Series, Mountain Homecoming, album that you can get at Christian bookstores everywhere, and this is just a beautiful song of redemption. You know, I believe that many of us as Christians sometimes fall by the wayside. We get off on that, you know, that access road, and we really need to stay on that narrow road to Jesus Christ. But I'll tell you, when you return, He's always there, our Father in heaven, arms outstretched. It says in 1 John that He is faithful and will deliver us. He will forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's a promise. A lot of people are afraid to go direct to God. I don't know why. Since the Bible makes very clear, Jesus even told His disciples that He, now imagine this, He being God, He being the one who created this earth, nevertheless, call them friend. Friend. Now, you know, that's not something to take advantage of. Believe me, fellow Christians. But it is important to realize that, yes, God is our judge. And He will judge the righteous. He will judge the unrighteous. And His judgment always is true. He said that, and that is so. But at the same time, He is our friend. I've always felt sort of sorry for our Roman Catholic friends who believe that Jesus is such an imposing and cruel and mean and insensitive, unfeeling God that they can't go direct to Him. They better pray with the saints. So they pray too. They claim with the saints. Or they'll pray to or with Mary. And I've always thought that's pretty ridiculous. You know, if you were a child, or if you have a child today, and that child wants to talk to his mom or dad, does the little boy or girl go to the next door neighbor or go to a pastor or a school teacher and say, I'd like to talk to my mom or my dad? Well, if so, then I feel very sorry for that parent, that they have no communication with their children. But praise Jesus, we can go direct to Him. Now, even if you're in a life of sin today out there, even if you have fallen down, even if you have backslidden, still He holds out His hands for you. He doesn't approve of your sin. He doesn't want you to sin. And I believe the main reason, not only is He a holy God, but He knows what's best for you, and sin is hurtful to you. And God, being your Father in heaven, doesn't want you to hurt. It's as simple as that. You know, if you have a child, you don't want him to go out and play in the street. She'll get hurt. If you have a little daughter or a little boy, you don't want him to play with rattlesnakes. So you see, God knows sin hurts. It hurts you. It hurts those around you. And that's why God hates sin. And someday he will do away with it. And he's always ready to forgive you and to cleanse you. Here it is, I Have Returned, featuring Bonnie Keene, Donnie Sumner, and Gene McDonald. I Have Returned. And then I'll be right back with the final part of my message, the ages-old conspiracy against God and men. And then after that, if we have some time, I have a few letters I want to read to you and some interesting information. So we've got a very packed session today. Stay with us.
I have returned to the God of my childhood, to the same simple faith as a child I once knew. Like the prodigal son, I long for my loved ones, for the comforts of home. And the God I outgrew,
I have returned to the God of my childhood. And the next day, the prophet's Messiah, he sees us to be eternal.
I have returned to the God of my fathers, the most godlike man a child ever knew. And I just heard a sigh from the angels in glory, praising the Lord. I did fall where the wall now stands. This lesson I've learned as I walked my way homeward, the Savior of all is the comfort to man.
Eternal Jesus,
laugh. Yes, I laugh at men who say, oh, God would never send anybody to hell. Surely he's too merciful. I tell you what, my friends, he'll do whatever he wants to do. And if God wants to send people to hell, he will send the people to hell. And if you want to say, well, God must be a very mean being, he must be very cruel to send people to an eternal place of torment, I have to ask you, who are you to judge God? Your brain isn't big enough. Your emotions are not analytical enough. You are not of enough of any kind of an entity to judge God. You don't have the mind of Christ. Who are you to judge God? If he says this, that's the way he says it. I like what the Apostle Paul said. Evidently, some people even back then didn't understand why there were some that are going to go to hell and some go to heaven. And they must have went to the Apostle Paul and they said, can you explain this? You know what he said? Can the pot turn around to the potter and say, why did you make me thus? You know, friends, as I'm talking on the air right here, I'm looking at my desk. It's sort of a dark walnut type wood. Sort of pretty, sort of shiny. Of course, it's got papers all over it. I'm sort of littered here. Wanda's always coming in here saying, when are you going to clean up your office, Tex? You always need a good wife to keep you straight, and boy, she does me. When are you going to clean up this mess, she says. Well, I said, sweetheart, I'm really working on these projects. She says, well, that just looks so junky. I'm embarrassed at your office. Well, I guess that's the prerogative of a woman. But I'm going back to my desk here. Here it is. It's staring at me, dark walnut, sort of shiny. But you know, I've never had this walnut desk suddenly say to me, Mr. Mars, why am I made like this? You see, I'm the master of this desk. And I bought this desk because I wanted it to look like this. There were other desks that looked other ways, but I chose this desk. It was my choice. It was my decision. And that's what God does. He does whatever he wants. He can make you black or white or red. Doesn't mean you're better or worse. It just means that's what he chose to make you. He can send you to heaven or to hell. But you know what? The wonderful thing is, he would like for all men to go to heaven. But he's made it, this world, he's designed it so that some will go to hell. And it'll be their choice. And you know, God sometimes just lets you choose whatever you want. Well, because that's his choice too. Now, here we have then in the very book of Psalms, a picture of the conspiracy of the last days. But now let's go to the book of Revelation. We're going to see this great end times conspiracy. Turn to Revelation chapter 17, verses 12 through 14. It talks about a vision that the Apostle John had there on the Isle of Patmos. And we read, and the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. It sounds like a conspiracy. 10 men will rule the world in the last days. 10 kings. 10 people in authority. Now, at the time John wrote this, they did not have a kingdom. Some people say, well, John was talking about Rome. The whole book of Revelation is written about the Roman Empire. Really? Well, it says right here, they have received no kingdom as yet. But they will receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. Only a short, I don't know how long 1 hour is to God. But I can tell you this much, it's a short time span, a brief time span evidently, in the last days. And these 10 kings will have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. That is the Antichrist, 666. Boy, what a conspiracy. You know, it's bad enough for men to conspire together, but can you name any conspiracy in history where the men involved in it actually had one mind? They agreed so much. They were so much in unison, so much of a consensus, that there was not one iota of difference between their goals and objectives. These have one mind, and because they have one mind, they will give their power and strength unto the beast. I'm telling you, friends, I could not better describe, Webster's dictionary cannot better describe a conspiracy. Now, Daniel talked about this same conspiracy. Read Daniel chapter 7, verses 23 and 24. He says the fourth beast, and that's the last beast. He gives you an image now. God has given the prophet Daniel an image of four great beast kingdoms to come upon the earth. Let me read to you now Daniel 7, 23 and 24. The fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse, that means different, from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down, and break it in pieces. And the ten horns out of this kingdom are ten kings that shall arise. Remember in Revelation we just talked about the ten kings and the ten horns that shall arise? They didn't exist in the days of Daniel. It wasn't in the days of Nebuchadnezzar. Oh no. It wasn't in the days of the Caesars in Rome. John said that, but now we have an amazing thing. This last day's kingdom will devour the whole earth. So these men who are of one mind will devour, through their giving their strength and their power to the beast, the whole earth will be devoured. That means eaten up, gobbled up. Boy, talk about your Pac-Man. Whew. And they'll tread it down and break it in pieces. Napoleon didn't do that. Hitler didn't do that. Mao Zedong didn't do that. Genghis Khan didn't do that. Julius Caesar didn't do that. They all got little pieces of the world. But they didn't devour the whole earth. Emperor Tojo in World War II of Japan didn't do it. Franklin Roosevelt didn't do it. But you know what? The United States, as leader of the New World Order, seems to be on target. There's only a few rogue nations left. They talk about Saddam Hussein, Gaddafi, the Iranian mullahs, the North Korean leadership. These are called rogue nations. They're the only ones that refuse to obey the great United States in these last days. Isn't that interesting? What Napoleon and Hitler and Stalin couldn't do, the United States, through something called democracy, has done today. They call it democracy, but is it? I know I founded Living Truth Ministries, and the government, Big Brother, came down and said, we will punish you and take away your tax-exempt status and give you all kind of penalties and fines and everything because you say things that we don't want you to say. Oh, my friends, is that a democracy? I think not. Now, these ten kings, who will really be leading them? Who are pulling the strings in the last days? You know, there's an astounding passage in Revelation 16 I want to tell you about. This passage means a lot to me because as a young man, God gave me a dream about this very passage. And I'll never forget that dream. It was one of the most hideous dreams anybody could have. Now, I want you to understand, as a little boy, I knew nothing about Bible prophecy as such. I mean, we rarely went to church. My folks were backslid. I probably had only gone to church three times. I lay in bed that night and I went to sleep and a dream came to me in which I saw what appeared to be a huge concentration camp dormitory. And I was a resident at that concentration camp. I had not read about the Nazis in concentration camps or the Stalinist gulags in Russia. I knew nothing of these things. I was just a young man. I don't even remember how old I was at the time. Probably 7 or 8, 6 years old. But I'll never forget. I was in that huge, it was like an army dormitory. And it seemed to go on for hundreds of yards. And the ceiling was so close to the floor. You almost had to stoop to get around. And there was terror everywhere and oppressive heat. And when I went outside, I saw the barbed wire. And I saw the people suffering in my dream. And I saw frogs, huge frogs, three frogs like guards, guarding this concentration camp dormitory and ensuring that the people stayed within the barbed wire confines of it. I didn't understand the dream until some years later I read Revelation 16, verses 14 and 16. And I want to tell you about this. I want you to understand. You need to know who is behind this conspiracy. Because in this passage of Revelation, it talks about three great frogs that issue forth from the mouth of the dragon or Satan. And these three frogs symbolize satanic powers affecting the whole globe in the last days. It says there in that passage, for they are the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. And he, that is God, gathered them together into a place called, in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. Spirits of devils. You want to know who's behind the conspiracy? Devils. And these devils come from the very mouth of the dragon or Satan, symbolized by these three frogs. Revelation 19, verse 19 says, and I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him. That's against Jesus Christ. Now, friends, that's where they make their most momentous, horrible mistake. Because Jesus Christ is going to win. He's already won the victory. But this will be the final, culminating, crushing defeat of Satan. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, pictured in Revelation, symbolically as riding that great white horse, and who follow him but those who are true and faithful, his saints. Well, my friends, that is the ages-old conspiracy, and I've told you who the winner is, who the loser is. Which side are you on? That's the key question for your life.
I do hope you received a blessing from this message today, the final part of our message, the ages-old conspiracy against God and man. My friends, I want to thank all of you who continue to write us and encourage us in this radio-based ministry. You know, without your help, without your financial donations, we just couldn't keep going. And we do appreciate we're able to bring a message around the world, and we love hearing from our friends in foreign countries as well. Now, when you write to us, if you can afford to do so, please send us a love gift. We're always thankful for any amount. And it, you know, there's nothing too small. It all depends on what the Holy Ghost calls you to do to help us here. I want to emphasize to you one thing. We're often asked our gifts to Bible Home Church tax deductible. Well, let me just tell you our policy here. Frankly, we refuse to apply formally for tax exempt status. In other words, it's called Section 501c3 of the IRS code. We have not formally applied for it. I understand the IRS says, according to another section, 508, that every church in America is automatically tax exempt. Unless the IRS comes down and takes away your tax exempt status because they don't agree with what you're teaching. And do you know, when you're politically incorrect, when you tell the truth about such things as abortion and homosexuality, when you expose those in high places for their moral corruption, when you call on this nation to be as good as God wants it to be righteous, well, the IRS is probably going to come down hard on you. And, of course, they have persecuted me personally and my ministries in the past. So for that reason, we really don't mess with it. So I would not be here to tell you that any love gift you give us would be tax deductible. That's between you and your accountant or whatever, or the tax books that you buy. But we make no claims whatsoever that we are tax exempt. We're not interested in pleasing the Internal Revenue Service or governments of any kind, but we are a New Testament church under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I hope that makes it clear to you. If you're still mixed up and you say, well, I don't know if I send you a love gift, if it'll be tax deductible or not, well, please don't send it if that's what you're sending it for. If you want a tax-deductible gift, well, just don't send it. You know, regardless of what the IRS says about us, and they probably would say that we're tax-exempt, but I'm not saying it. I do make no claim whatsoever, my friends. Give out of the goodness of your heart and love Jesus and don't worry about what the IRS is going to do one way or the other. Well, this is Tex Mars, and it's been a great delight being with you today at Bible Home Church. And be with us again next week as we continue praising the Lord through His Word.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.